Good afternoon, and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through the underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. The Central Coast relies heavily on roads, bridges, highways, and transportation systems, but California's transportation infrastructure is in desperate need of repair, and there's no money for any highway improvements in our future. Lawmakers on local, state, and federal levels are looking at legislation that could make major difference here on the Central Coast and elsewhere. My guest today will help us understand more about this issue and also about agencies that are working to deliver solutions. I'm joined in the studio today by Ron DeCarli, Executive Director for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, otherwise known as SLOCOG, James Worthley, Senior Transportation Planner for SLOCOG, and joining us today by telephone is Sarkis Kachek, who is the Senior Transportation Planner for Santa Barbara Association of Governments, or SBCAB. Today's show is live, and we welcome you to be a part of our discussion by calling into 781-3875. And thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today.
Thank you very much for the invite. We appreciate coming.
Thank you.
Great. And Sarkis, you are there too?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you. Making sure you're still on board here. I think probably the first place to start is to talk a little bit about SLOCOG and SBCAB, what it does, you know, when it started. And if you would start, I would.
Okay. This is Ron DeCarli. I'm the executive director of the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, the counterpart to Santa Barbara County Association of Governments. Our agency started in 1968, and that's where most of the COGs were created back at that time, is as a result of federal law to coordinate major planning for infrastructure, sewers and water and housing primarily. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, that shifted to transportation, and by the 80s, most of the other funding has dried up, and the focus of almost all of the COGs in the state focused on transportation. That's probably about 98% of what we do today. Maybe, Sarkis, you could talk a little bit, if time frame and quick background on SBCAG.
Sure. Sarkis Kachek with Santa Barbara County Association of Governments. Thanks for having me on the show today. So like Ron said, the Santa Barbara County Association of Governments, we were formed in this 1970s, and so we serve a lot of the same functions that the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments serves, and then we have similar functions, and one other function that we also have is as a local transportation authority, and so we have a half-cent sales tax program in Santa Barbara County specifically for transportation. And so as the local transportation authority, we administer the program for Santa Barbara County.
Okay. And in San Luis Obispo, the transportation is through where?
Primarily state and federal funds that come through us as well as local funding. So there's a distinct difference in terms of a new source of funding that we could probably talk a little bit more about as we go later in the show. In terms of a little bit further background as to who we are, we're one of these obscure agencies. SBCAG's the same way that not too many people are familiar with. We're more of a regional agency. We're both independent agencies, our own separate governing structures, our own separate budgets. We consist of representatives of the five supervisorial districts in each of the counties and an elected representative from, in our case, each of the seven cities. And Sarkis, how many cities do you have?
We have eight cities.
Okay.
So we have a governing board of 12. You have a governing board of 13. Ex officio member of Caltrans sits on our board also. So we represent all of the cities. Our prime focus, again, is transportation. And in terms of planning, our key functions is planning for the future interagency coordination. We all have a rideshare program to try and make the most effective use of our resources. And then we program money. And we program almost all state and federal transportation money that comes to our member jurisdictions.
When you say you program money, what do you mean?
That's where we will get a $20, $30 million. And through our cooperative processes, working with our member jurisdictions, we will select those projects to be funded or select those programs to be funded, like a rideshare program, mm-hmm. a safe route to school program, or funding a particular interchange, or funding a transit system, or putting in park and ride lots.
So SLOCOG or SBCAG are the determining organizations or agencies, if you will, for doing that, for allocating the funding?
We're the ones that are allocating the state mm-hmm. and federal funds. We're the agencies that's coordinating the cities and the counties together to make certain that the transportation systems all work well together. You could have a whole series of single little transit systems.
Right.
It's our agency that works with trying to coordinate all those or to consolidate those or to help facilitate interregional traffic outside of our region coming into our regions, mm-hmm. as well as between communities, as well as within communities.
So you mentioned that it was its own entity. It's not a county.
That's correct. It's not a county.
Okay.
Separate.
And I think that's
structure.
A misconception.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it is historically, many of them were housed within counties.
Mm-hmm.
We became an independent agency in the early 90s. And SBCAG for yourself?
I think it was a similar time.
About the same time.
Okay.
And I think with that, it provides a lot of objectivity. We're separate staff. We serve the region. And we're here responsible for looking at the best transportation system in our region. How do we facilitate those improvements? How do we resolve the problems? How do we look at efficiency and effectiveness?
And you would expect that the cities would look at it from their own perspective of what their immediate needs are. So you would be an agency that would look at it in the more global sense in terms
Correct. Where we're trying to coordinate the plans between two cities,
right.
or between our counties, or between several different transit systems. And we work directly with all of our member jurisdictions. In all cases, we have technical committees representing each of the jurisdictions, and we have citizens' committees representing citizens in those areas. But in terms of some of the other things we do, I had mentioned planning and
right.
coordinating.
Mm-hmm.
We all do various specific plans, like transit plans, corridor plans. Corridor plan could be like, in our case, Highway 101. We've done corridor plans working with Caltrans as another state agency. On every single highway in our region, the biggest being Highway 101, and we just completed a major study of 101 to look at what are the improvement options, what are the problem areas. We defined various problem areas and then came to the conclusion that in the long run, we got capacity issues, and it only takes about $1 billion to widen to a six lane.
Yeah.
And historically, we've been getting $6 to $10, $12 million a year. We're a little shy of $1 billion to widen it to a six-lane facility. So what those plans, as an example, then said, what's most effective is ride-sharing, public transit at peak hours, working through with various employers to get people off the peak hours, have a comprehensive transportation system that works, make certain that our frontage road systems work, and then hit key congested areas. And went in some of the key spots, was in the paper today.
I was just going to mention there was certainly one in paper today, or a couple.
Yeah, and that dealt with Highway 101 in Shell Beach area.
Right.
It's getting more and more congested. We also have 227 south of the airport. It's congested every day. We've been working on various bottlenecks at various interchanges. And as we look at all of those plans, we're required by state and federal law to develop a regional plan. So we do very smaller plans, and then we look at how's all the plans fit together. And in terms of highways, transit, rail-related improvements, rideshare programs. So how does everything, and what's our long-range vision for improvements? And this is the function that all COGs do. SBCAG does the same type of thing. And once every 4 years, we're required to come up with a major plan. And then we have to identify, how do we fund that plan? We have to be able to show that all the projects in that plan are fundable with state money, federal money, local money, and or regional money. And this is where SBCAG's a little ahead of us, because they have a half-cent sales tax to help further implement that plan. So maybe, Sarks, did you have anything you want to add relative to your planning effort? It's very similar, but maybe identifying some of your key points.
Sure. So we just one other plan that we also have at SBCAG is an active transportation plan that looks at all the bicycle and pedestrian improvements that need to be delivered in our county. And so that's another plan that we have. But in terms of our other efforts, like Ron said, we have our Measure A program. And so another thing that we have through that sales tax program for transportation, which generates about $30 to $35 million a year for us, is working on identifying on how to implement all those different projects and sub-programs within Measure A. We have interregional transit that gets funding. We have bike, ped, and safe routes to school programs. We have a commuter rail program. And so we've developed a strategic plan that helps us identify when all of our available funding sources, not just Measure A, but all the state and federal funding sources, can be available to help deliver the projects that we've identified in our Measure A strategic plan.
How far out do you plan, Sarkis?
Our Measure program is, specifically for our Measure program, it is a 30-year program.
It is.
That got approved in 2008, and revenues were collected starting in 2010. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to last through 2040. And so at least for that horizon, we're looking at making sure that we are delivering all the projects that that were identified in the investment and expenditure plan that we promised to our voters.
Right, right. And I want to reiterate that what you were talking about is not just for vehicle transportation.
It's very, very diverse. It's it includes our widening of our U.S. 101 freeway through the Santa Barbara South Coast from 2 to 3 lanes in each direction. But it's not just adding a lane, it's adding an HOV lane, or high occupancy vehicle or carpool lane. And then we have funding for commuter rail. We have funding for bike ped programs and transit. But the other, item was that we also have what we call a local program. And so approximately 60% of Measure A funding gets distributed to our local agencies. And so they have the ability to use those funds for their own local projects, from streets and roads to bike ped improvements or transit as well, if they wish to use it on those types of projects.
And when you talk about your local agencies, are you talking about the cities?
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
So I'm referring to our 8 cities and the county of Santa Barbara.
Okay, great.
So when we go to those cities, in our case, it's the 7 cities in San Luis Obispo County, and then the county of San Luis Obispo. In the county of San Luis Obispo, you also have these unincorporated communities.
Right.
That'd be like Cambria, Templeton, Los Osos, Napomo, Shandon, and very similar also in Santa Barbara, CAG area.
Right. And how did the two agencies coordinate with one another? Because you actually abut to one another, right, in Napomo, and also then you're abutting up to 2 other counties. So
So we've long been coordinating together as mm-hmm. sister agencies. We share the Highway 101, and we share rail systems.
Okay.
And it's through those efforts that either through special studies like our Highway 101 or interagency meetings. We meet with Santa Barbara COG, our agency, Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito COG once a month.
Oh, you do?
Just interagency coordination of what's going on at the state and what's going on adjacent to our areas. With SB CAG right now, we have a joint transit plan that's underway that we'll start embarking on between our two counties.
And then do you, when you are collaborating, do you share the cost for some of those projects?
Absolutely. We're sharing the cost in this transit study. SB CAG submitted a grant. We're providing a local match for the grant. It went to Caltrans. Caltrans funded the program.
Okay.
So we're looking at better transit between our two counties. We also worked in partnership with Caltrans and SB CAG on widening Santa Maria River. For instance, as from a four-lane dilapidated structure to a six-lane facility with a separate bike and pedestrian project. So those are examples. Another is Highway 166, again, working with SB CAG, our county, Caltrans, and operational improvements through that area, like passing lanes, channelization projects. And our call box program. We have an emergency call box program on all of the highways, in major highways in both of our two counties, and those are jointly shared on the Highway 166 corridor. So it's a pretty good joint effort
in
us working together and sharing those resources.
Great. If you just joined us on Central Coast Voices, our topic today is the state of transportation funding, and also we're learning a lot more about SLOCOG and SB CAG. My in-studio guests are Ron DeCarli, Executive Director for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, or SLOCOG, James Worthley, who is the Senior Transportation Planner for SLOCOG, and we're joined on the phone by Sarkis Kacek, who is the Senior Transportation Planner for the Santa Barbara Association of Governments, or SB CAG. We would love to hear your questions and comments. To join us on this show today, call us at 781-3875, and we have a call here from Hilla. Hilla, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I didn't know you were talking to me.
I am.
Yes.
Did you have a question?
I had a question about the public transportation, or actually the train system, and how does that feed in with the road transportation? Because I know the trains are poorly funded in this country, and they would save so much time and wear and tear on people if they would commute by train, like my husband does down to Los Angeles from here. And I just wondered if they work together with SLOCOG or Caltrans at all.
And the answer is absolutely. We do work on rail, and maybe I could talk with some of the kind of an overview of how it affects San Luis Obispo County. And then Sarkis can talk a little bit more about their commuter rail efforts that they're doing down there and our efforts to work together. Both of our two counties have been working together. In fact, again, we work with all the counties between LA and San Francisco on a rail corridor through the Coast Rail Coordinating Council that SLOCOG facilitates. And then a similar agency from San Luis Obispo south to San Diego called the Losan Corridor that looks at improvements from San Luis Obispo south. The rail services in general through the United States is provided by Amtrak. It's a little bit different, but they provide the long-distance trains. So there is a service from Seattle to San Luis Obispo and then all the way down to Los Angeles that provides two round trips per day. In addition to that, there are state-sponsored trains SB CAG first started really pushing forth train services from Los Angeles up to Santa Barbara. We've been advocating to have those extended up to San Luis Obispo. We now have two round trips per day going from San Luis Obispo south to Santa Barbara, and then from Santa Barbara all the way down to San Diego. Our long-term efforts is to extend that train from San Luis Obispo, L.A., from all the way from L.A. to San Luis Obispo to San Francisco. So we're working very strong with all the counterparts on those efforts. And Sarkis, maybe you can identify some of the more particulars in SBCAG.
Before you go to SBCAG, I do want to mention that SLOCOG provided money for all three of the train stations in our region, Paso Robles, Grover Beach, and San Luis Obispo, to upgrade them.
Yeah, back in 1991, there was a state rail bond that was passed, and our county received, statewide is about $1 billion, and that was really a renaissance of rail service improvements throughout the California. It pushed rail all over in L.A. and San Francisco. And through that effort, we extended rail services to San Luis Obispo. We funded three train stations, Grover Beach, San Luis Obispo, and a new station in Paso, and secured new rail services in Paso Robles. So those are some of the rail-related improvements. We also work with SBCAG and our state rail partners with Caltrans and Amtrak on doing siting improvements to make the system more efficient. Because right now the sidings are very short, the trains are very long, and they can't go into the sidings, and it's only one track.
Okay. Sarkis, are you back?
Yes, I'm
back.
We
lost you. We missed you. Did you want?
I missed you too.
Did you want to address anything about transportation for Santa Barbara County?
Sure. So, in terms of train service, I think one point I wanted to make was that as part of our Measure A program and as part of our broader congestion relief solution on the South Coast, is that along with our 101 HOV widening and our interregional bus service that we coordinate, we're also looking to implement a commuter rail service that would start down in Southern California and then come up to Santa Barbara and Goleta to provide commuters from Ventura County with another option with getting up to Santa Barbara.
Do you have, it seems like you have quite a few commuters coming from Ventura into Santa Barbara, because that for you looks like a real, real bogged down area in the morning and in the evening.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the number that we have from our commuter state of the commute document is that they're approximately between 11,000 and 12,000 commuters per day coming from Ventura County into Santa Barbara County.
That's
and they travel different times, but with our highway being a three-lane facility and then a two-lane facility in between Santa Barbara and Ventura County and then back to a three-lane facility, there's that, natural bottleneck. And
yeah.
So we're looking at all of the solutions, all the multimodal solutions that we can.
So tell me about how you do the planning. You talk about a 30-year plan, and then I'm assuming you've got shorter range plans than that along the way. How do you look at your planning? What is your process?
Well, we definitely look forward. And getting input from the public is important for us, especially in Santa Barbara County, just because people really do care about how projects get implemented and how that impacts the environment. And so depending on the type of project or the program, we work on identifying, getting a fund source to help implement a plan, and then once we have funding identified, then we reach out with our elected officials, the public, and our local cities in the county, just on starting out with identifying what the issue is, and then what are some of the possible alternatives in addressing the issue at hand. And then sometimes these planning documents may just take a year to develop, but then sometimes they take longer. And so our 101 in motion process, which focused on the Santa Barbara South Coast, I think it took us about 3 to 5 years to have that process completed. And so we identified, I think it was upwards of, the public identified like 70 different alternatives for providing congestion relief. And then we were able to narrow it down to about 5 alternatives. And then ultimately it was the lane and the train, which means adding the high occupancy vehicle or carpool lane and then adding commuter rail as the public supported solutions.
Okay. And James, for San Luis Obispo County?
In terms of our 20-year plan?
In terms of how you do your planning, what does that involve?
Well, we have to, like Ron said, we have to be financially constrained. We have to be realistic in where our funds go and where the funds might come from. So we're estimating what we think is coming from the state, what we think is coming from the federal government over the next 20 years. And without measure money, we're really tied to those two sources. There are local funds, of course. And then we do have to take a multimodal approach. So we're looking at bikes, pedestrians, livable communities like downtown enhancements. We're looking at the freeways and the highways, and we're looking at all the connections in between. So we're really taking a holistic look countywide, geographically speaking, as well as a holistic look transportation-wise to make sure all these modes work together. And then staying within that financial constraint is the last bit of challenge. As Sarkis mentioned, we too need to keep the public involved and keep that public process open.
Now, do you rely heavily on the representatives from the various cities that they will reach out to their constituents and look at for their own areas what those real hot spots are, or do you look at doing forums for the community at large? How do you do that?
It really varies, and one thing James mentioned is the multimodal approach, and Sarkis mentioned the kind of plans depends upon the program. In general, both of our agencies are involved. We're required to develop a multimodal transportation system. So that involves all modes of transportation. That's bike, it's pedestrian,
right,
it's rail, it's freeway, it's collector systems, it's park and ride lots.
What are collector systems?
Or that could be your major roadway systems, your larger boulevards.
I got it.
Or
okay.
Your smaller little local streets. So our efforts is to work with all of those. But many of our jurisdictions are doing the same thing. So every single city is required to have a circulation element that looks at their land use and looks at what's the circulation system going to be. You know, what is the system of roadways, mm-hmm. of sidewalks, of bike lanes. And we take that information, and then we look at the adjacent ones, and then we'll look at how it all pieces together. And then we try and look at, you know, what are the regional connections. Well, some of our efforts also is to look at, you know, how do we also enhance, one of our goals, enhance quality of life in our county.
Right.
And that's been a long-term goal. Way back in the late 80s, we looked at widening 101 to 6 lanes because some of the demands was that. And we found it would have taken all of our money to do so. And there was other approaches we could take where preserve the right-of-way, assure all interchanges are built to accommodate a future 6 lanes, but let's build the frontage road systems. Let's build a countywide transit system that would take some of those cars off, similar to what SBCAG is doing with their 101 in motion.
Right.
Let's look at interregional connections like the rail services, and let's look at bikeways. So in our case, in every mode, we may have a bus plan. We may have multiple area bus plans or a North County bus transit system evaluation. We've done a park and ride lot study countywide, again, to get people off to try and encourage them to ride share. So we now have 15 park and ride lots scattered throughout our county with about 700 spaces. Most of those would all be hammering right at the peak hour. We also have a ride share program, mm-hmm. that tries to facilitate the use of alternative modes, facilitating carpooling. We have a van pool program to help try and get people into van pools, again, to get people off that peak hour. And it's through, I think, those coordinative efforts. And every type of programs may be a little bit different. They all roll into this regional transportation plan. And through these efforts, we have funds on practically every bike project in the county, from the Bob Jones separate bike paths to small, little safe route to schools throughout the county. We funded all the bus systems throughout the county. We coordinate all the bus systems throughout the county, all the park and ride lots. We've been involved with almost improvements at almost every interchange throughout our county, again, working with Caltrans as a partner. It's that broad perspective.
Right.
And then the big challenge that we have, after developing these in a plan, trying to come up with a long-range vision, as James mentioned, it has to be fiscally constrained. Our objective is we receive some state and federal money for these various programs. They usually comes through the COGS, through the member jurisdictions, to help fund the bus systems, to help fund the interchange improvements, to help fund the rail-related improvements. And that's been an effort that we've talked about where we go into programming of funding. And maybe I'll have James talk a little bit about some of the programming.
Well, let me take a real quick break and let you know that you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX Public Radio, 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas de Paso Robles, 95.1 Lompoc, 90.9 Santa Ynez, and 89.5 Santa Barbara. If you are joining us and you want to listen to the show in its entirety, you can do that by logging on to our website at kcbx.org. And there is the ability to listen to our most recent show and also go to archive shows. And that's true for any of the KCBX programming. In studio with me today, the show that you're listening to right now, is Ron DeCarli, who's the executive director for SLOCOG. With him is James Worthley, senior transportation planner for SLOCOG. And joining us by telephone from Santa Barbara is Sarkis Kacek, who is the senior transportation planner for SBCAG. And so we're asking what you think, too. It's a good time for you to call and ask questions or make a comment. And you can do that by calling 781-3875. That's 781-3875. And we have a question real quick here from Josh. Josh, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I have a question. This is Josh Olichek with the BAC for the county. And we are in the midst of reorganizing, and I thought Ron DeCarli could maybe give us some ideas on how we could reorganize our committee to meet the now pooling effort that Congress has decided to put their funding in, instead of just in individual multimodal areas.
Do you know what Josh is asking?
No. Josh, can you help elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, well, basically, Congress has now decided that they're going to put their funding in groups such as Safe Routes to School, pedestrian, active transportation, such as cycling. And the way the county's set up now is we have individual committees. And we're just wondering how we're going to coordinate this. One idea that has been floated is to have a intermodal coordinator at SLOCOG. That's one of our suggestions. The other one is to have it at County Public Works. Do you have an opinion on that or a suggestion?
And you were representing what group?
The County BAC, the Bicycle Advisory Committee.
Okay. So let's go back. Thanks very much, Josh, for calling. Both at the state and federal level, there is new legislation being proposed for funding. At the national level, there's been a consolidation in the last 10 years of 110 different funding programs to about 10 with some subcategories. There is a lot of leeway being granted to the regions, to the COGS, and to the departments of transportation like Caltrans on funding. Through on both funding and providing those fund sources, as well as in coordination. We at SLOCOG review all the various fund sources that come in a programming cycle. We do a federal programming cycle once every 2 years, tied to also programming the state money. Most of the federal money, most state and federal money, comes for in various categories of funds. You can only use it for certain purposes. And it's our efforts working through we're in a programming cycle right now. So we end up bringing some of the concepts, the targeted amount of funds, the kind of money to our board pretty consistently about 6 months beforehand, reviewing it with each of the cities and counties beforehand, and fine-tuning, setting up the parameters for funding, the criteria for programming, what targeted amount of funds are, and then asking for a solicitation of projects to fund, and then rating and ranking those projects. It's gotten more difficult with changes in federal law and state law that consolidates funding from what used to come to regions like ours to the state. And it is now being administered through a grant programs, competitive grant programs at the state, of which we are now competing for funding against very needy areas in Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento, and our numbers typically pale in comparison with some of those. So the smaller regions in the state, like Santa Barbara Cog, CAG, our county, Monterey, some of the Central Valley counties are having an exceedingly difficult time competing against the big counties for some of these projects. You had mentioned bikeways. The active transportation is an example of the term that's used for these funds. That funds bikeway projects, safe route to school projects, bikeway-related improvements, Class 1 projects like the Bob Jones bike path, or just Class 2s, which are bike lanes adjacent to on the side of major roads. And those are all efforts where we use some of our funds to help fund, and we're beginning to use more of our local money to try and match the state money, you know, for in this competitive grant cycle.
Did that answer your question, Josh?
Well, yes. We're aware of all of those intermodal issues. I guess to make us a little more effective, since we are not, you know, we're competing against very large counties, and they're obviously getting the lion's share just due to the funding formula. Should we create a position of a multimodal coordinator or some type of active transportation coordinator at SLOCOG to help advocate for us, or at the county public works department level? That's been one of the questions my subcommittee has come up with, and we'll probably be voting on that this week.
Okay, it's a good suggestion. And in our region, as you're pretty aware, we have a pretty robust interest in alternative transportation, bike and pedestrian improvements, safe route to school, bikeway projects countywide. We've put a major effort through our agency with available state and federal funding for both planning and actually providing funding to the cities and counties to construct these facilities. The problem isn't one of planning or advocacy. We now have bike plans established connecting almost all of our communities. We have bikeway improvements in every single city, in many of the unincorporated areas, in all major routes connected. The problem we're having is reductions in state and federal funding. And we're being pushed out where we simply don't have the funding. It's not a matter of advocacy in terms of these projects where we need a position to help advocate. we were in that position in the 80s and the 90s where we needed that. We're now at the point where everybody, every jurisdiction wants bike and pedestrian improvements and safe routes to school. The money is simply not there anymore. And the money that used to come to regions like ours has now been shifted to the state departments of transportation on a competitive basis. What many regions have done is they push what's referred to as self-help counties. They pass their own measures like a lot of the cities have here, and like Santa Barbara CAG has done, where they passed a region-wide measure to help address the fund shortfalls directly from their own constituents for constituent projects.
Do you want to, Sarkis, do you want to address from Santa Barbara County's perspective what the question is that Josh is talking about, how you guys handle it down there for integration of cycling?
Sure. Like I mentioned previously, we do have, we've developed a countywide active transportation plan. Just like as Ron mentioned, the lineup with the new statewide program called the Active Transportation Program. So we do, our planning group they've worked very deeply on this project, and this is something that we worked with all of our local cities and the county on, and so that's something that we've been working on. And then I guess in terms of some of the local agencies, I know that they do have their own types of committees, and they do have like active transportation planners that are working on these types of projects, and so that's at a local agency level. And so I think when it comes to some of our committees, we do have some expertise when it comes to how to coordinate the planning effort on these types of projects.
Okay. Sarkis, I'm glad you brought that point up, because we are also embarking on an active transportation plan work effort, probably starting up in January. And that's something we could probably work absolutely, Josh, with the County Bike Coalition on, in terms of better coordinating, prioritizing the improvements. But to really effectuate change, to really effectuate the change that you're asking and your group is asking for, is where we're talking about money. And money is the shortfall that we have right now. SBCAG has solved part of that issue through their sales tax, but they're also fighting for these statewide grants. Part of what we have to do in our region is all of our cities have passed local measures. Most of those are all focused on street and road maintenance. Tied to maintenance could also be what we refer to as complete streets, assuring that all streets accommodate all users. That's a goal that we have at SLOCOG. It's one we try to help facilitate. So when streets are being rehabilitated, they're being widened or restriped to accommodate bike lanes, sidewalks are being fixed, signals are being put in for pedestrian actuated signals.
They're also things of that being, are they being upgraded for ADA?
And being upgraded for ADA.
Right. You got a lot of information there, Josh.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Diane, you've been patient. Did you have a comment or question?
Actually, I have two questions. One is regarding the summertime when we have concerts up in the North County. I can take buses up to the North County to attend these, but I can't get home. I would suggest the possibility of extending or having an extra bus in the summertime when we have these concerts going on, so people can, instead of driving up, can take the bus up to those areas. And that would be throughout the week. And the other comment, and hopefully something we can be doing, is regarding transportation to the Santa Barbara Airport from San Luis to make that more accessible to everybody.
So let me address...
Great comments, Diane. Thank you.
So, Diane, that's a really good comment in terms of the summertime concerts and public transit between our communities. We help facilitate what's referred to as the Regional Transit Authority. That's the bus system that now operates and connects all of our seven cities and most of our 10, 12 communities together. So we can now go between every single community in Santa Barbara County, Santa Maria, down to Orcutt by public bus systems. They're running on average 16 to 24 round trips per day, 24 round trips out to Cuesta, 16 through South County, North County, and the North Coast corridor.
And how do you plan for, like what Diane was talking about, when you know the Mid-State Fair is coming?
Well, the Mid-State Fair is kind of unique in itself.
But it comes every year.
But it does come every year.
It comes every year. You know it's going to come, and you know that there are big concerts there, and people drive from Santa Barbara County.
There's been private buses that operate on that service through the through Mid-State Fair. I know RTA at one time had provided those kinds of services. Addressing the point here relative to the summertime concerts in the park, for instance, in Templeton or in Paso Robles, would be using those RTA round-trip buses. But they do stop a little bit early, and it's basically a funding constraint. We will be working with RTA. We have secured federal funding to expand bus services along the 101 corridor in both the evening commutes, probably the subsequent later afternoon commutes, still being designed, likely up and running in September. And it will go all the way down to Santa Maria and Orcutt as well as going from Santa Maria to San Luis Obispo to Morro Bay as through routes. So those are some additional connections. Additional services beyond that are constrained by money. Mm-hmm. Back to the same issue that we're maximizing all the state and federal money and all the local money that we can on alternative transportation modes. We could do more, but we're constrained by funds. On the transit side, we look first at increasing efficiency. We had 14 different transit systems operating in our county at one time. We're now down to about five or six, and save probably $500,000 a year. And those savings then were pumped into providing better enhanced transit services. So that's how we've been trying to address some of these opportunities. Mm-hmm. They're not quite there, constrained by money.
Right.
Well, I so believe in public transportation that I have recently taken to and from the Santa Maria Airport from San Luis, the public buses.
Well,
and I want you to know they work beautifully.
Hats off to you, Diane.
They're a little time-consuming, but other than that, they work just beautifully, and it was a wonderful thing to do.
Great.
Well, thank you very much, and our objective is working with SBCAG. We are earmarking on a study to further enhance transit between our two counties to make it even better. So that studies are just now starting, and hopefully it will be better enhanced in the next year or two.
Thank you, wonderful, Diane.
But what about the airport? Really important that we can get to Santa Barbara Airport. They have flights that go to places that our San Luis Obispo Airport does not go to.
We now have airporter services that are operated on the private sector side.
Those are extremely costly.
And they're extremely costly.
Yes.
And at this point, that might be something that's studied in this transit corridor study, on a 101 transit corridor study that's mm-hmm. underway. So that could be something we could bring up as a potential option.
Well, they're taking advantage of the situation.
And they can look at bringing that up. But thank you for calling in, Diane.
Thank you very much for the consideration and for listening.
Okay.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we've talked about what you have done in your planning, what could happen, but we've talked about no money, honey, right? So what are some solutions? I mean, you've talked about the idea of a self-help county, and the difference between Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo is that Santa Barbara, you are... You are a self-help county.
Correct.
And what does that mean?
Self-help means that our voters have taken it upon themselves to implement a half-cent sales tax on, you know, any types of goods. So there's a half-cent that goes just for transportation projects in our region. So that's why we're called the self-help.
And how does one, because this information, thank you for the information you provided me, by the way, but it says 81% of California is population is in self-help county, but we're one of 16 counties that is non-self-help. So how do we change that, or do we change that?
We certainly can, but I think for purposes of the audience, I'd like to hold that question for just a couple of minutes.
You're going to have fun.
And I would like to first identify why we got a problem. And I think maybe James can identify a little bit more to give some examples of where our funding was, state and federal funding, and where it was and where it's going.
Well, transportation funding is very complex. And it's based on the three gas taxes or fuel taxes that are in place from the federal government and the state government. But the bottom line is the federal government and the state government, first gas tax the state government put in place in 1993, those have not changed in 22 years now. Imagine what the car mileage per gallon was 22 years ago.
Right.
Just 10 years
and
ago.
And the number
was,
of cars. That
we were using more gasoline 10 years ago than we are now. We continue to use less and less, which is a good thing. However, when
even
you're
with more cars on the road,
even
significantly
with
more.
Not only more cars, but these cars are traveling further.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the increased congestion and problems, and we're using less gallons to do it. The number of gallons is the component that funds our transportation systems. Well, take away, and there's a cents per gallon on that. So 1993, 18 cents, 18 and a half cents per gallon with a declining number of gallons. Not only are we losing to inflation, we're losing to the high mileage vehicles, we're losing to the electric vehicles, we're losing to the hybrid vehicles. And at the same time, our congestion continues to go up. So it's an outdated system that is funding our transportation systems. And now we're seeing the effects that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we had $15 million per year to spend. Now the latest information is we have $0 to spend on our highway systems because of this outdated system.
So at the state and federal level, they're wrestling with how to provide funding, and the all funding options like raising the gas tax, having a car tax, having a vehicle miles tax are all very controversial. And at the congressional level, and in the state of California, they have not been able to address this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And our money continues to erode. Consequently, what California has done is allowed counties to tax themselves to become self-help counties. So that's in the state of California now. 20 counties have passed these measures. 81% of the population, they're solving their transportation problems. State and federal government largely is saying, take care of your own. There's a big push perhaps to maintain streets and roads, but in enhancing, providing additional widened roads or fixing these bottlenecks, traffic congestion areas are falling more and more on the locals. And it's really through these countywide measures that's out. Now you asked how that would happen. In order to get a measure through, it has to be on the ballot. And voters have to vote for it with 67% of the voters. So it's a very, very high threshold. Typically, it goes through the Council of Governments. They develop an expenditure plan that lays out how you're going to spend it. By law, you have to identify how you're going to spend it. What term? Is it 10 years, 15, 20, 40? Then that goes to each of the cities and gets ratified. Once you have a majority of cities with a majority of population, it goes to the County Board of Supervisors. The County Board of Supervisors then determines on a majority vote if it would go on the ballot. And then it would go on a ballot and then it takes a 67% vote to approve.
And how long did it take you, Sarkis, for that process in Santa Barbara County, and when did you become a self-funded or self-help county?
We actually became a self-help county back in 1989 approval of our Measure D program. And so that was a 20-year program. And then as we were nearing the end of Measure D, that's when we started engaging the public and our local cities and the counties and other stakeholder groups with identifying the expenditure plan for the renewal of the program.
And so does that mean...
So that was So that was mid-2000s, and then Measure D got renewed as Measure A in 2008, and sales tax revenue started in 2010 for that program, for Measure A.
Okay, and how frequently does that measure come up for renewal?
Our measure is a 30-year measure.
It is a 30-year.
We'll be working on making sure that we deliver the projects in Measure A as promised to voters for over the next, between now and 2040.
Okay.
And so at this point, we're not at that point.
Do voters understand? Do people understand this?
No.
It
has to be get on the ballot for them to understand it. We in our county, we have not put such a measure on the ballot in the past. We've evaluated numerous times, but it's never kind of come to the point. There's always seemed to be a point in time that there was state money that suddenly came, there was federal money that suddenly came, and it solved a lot of the problems.
So it kind of got put on the back burner.
Put on the back burner, and I think we have also solved some of the big congestion-related bottlenecks as they've occurred. But now the entire system is reaching a point where the system is having problems at the same time that the state and federal funding for these kinds of improvements is largely gone.
So we have probably 30 seconds. What would be the final message on this?
The final message is that we are facing a major funding problem for transportation improvements, the traffic congestion relief, handling the bottlenecks, expanding public transit, expanding alternative modes. Without that additional funding, we will be looking at maintaining the current street and road system, maintaining the current levels of bus services, and facing increasing congestion.
Without anything new.
Without.
So stay tuned and listen up for more information on that. I want to thank my guests today, Ron DeCarli, who's the Executive Director for San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, SLOCOG, James Worthley, Senior Transportation Planner for SLOCOG, and Sarkis Kachak, Senior Transportation Planner for Santa Barbara Association of Governments, or SBCAG. And to everyone who called in today, your suggestions for future show topics are always welcome. Please send them in to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. I want to thank my guests for being here today, and I want to thank all of you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
angst. Yeah.
That's so this great. Is great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very, very, very much. Very, very helpful. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.